Matthew 16:24 says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, the parallel between disciples and veterans. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning and for your word, and we thank you for all those who serve, Lord, both this nation and this your kingdom. So, Lord, we pray today that we'd understand that each one of us, Lord, we may not be veterans, but we are disciples of Christ, and we have very similar jobs. And so, Lord, help us to understand that and empower us to do it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, as I was thinking about Veterans Day coming up and planning for, you know, what I would share, I kind of had this question in my mind. I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. It was like, what would you lay your life on the line for? And so as I thought about that, I thought about, you know, serving in the military, and I obviously there's a desire to serve your nation and the great tradition that goes before all of us, that those who have served and what they've done to make this nation what it is and keep it the nation that it was founded to be. But, I mean, there are other reasons that you serve as well. I can't say all of my reasons for serving was to, you know, defend America. Part of it when I went into the Air Force National Guard was to help pay for college. I mean, there's other reasons. I joined the Navy basically to stay out of jail. You know, I mean, God had other plans, though, but for me, that worked out well. But there are many different reasons why we would serve, but ultimately, we understand that serving means you're serving some other purpose or someone else. And so whether we serve the kingdom of God or we serve this nation, the idea is that we are serving. And that may ultimately mean, what will we put our life on the line for? I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You know, as you know, I follow politics a lot and all the things that are going on. And I always hear this these debates that we're having over policies that are being implemented and whether you're going to take them on. And you know, they use the expression, is this really the hill you want to die on? You know, are you going to really die over this political fight? Are you really going to... You know what, folks? I've really been thinking about this a lot lately. They always ask that question, is this a hill that you're willing to die on? Like, you know, come on, this isn't worth that. This isn't worth putting your life on the line to, you know, fight this battle. There'll be other battles to fight. And you know what? I've come to the conclusion there are hills to die on. There are hills that just say, this is as far as we can go, and we can go no farther. And maybe I'll develop this into a message someday, but I'm really glad that Jesus knew that there was a hill that it was worth dying on, amen? And there are hills that are worth dying on to keep the nation that we have, to keep the kingdom of God that we have. That's the nature of service. There are things bigger than us, and there are causes, and there are hills that it's worth dying on because we serve a greater purpose, and that is certainly the idea that veterans have and that we celebrate and we honor as we remember our veterans on this coming Veterans Day. And as I thought about this, certainly we think about this in terms of our nation, but what about, are there things I would be willing to lay my life on the line for when it comes to serving the Lord? Are there things that are willing to, that we'd lay down our lives for the kingdom of God, just like we would for our nation? So I spent some time studying this and looking at this and realized that there really is a parallel between veterans and disciples, in that the idea that they serve others, they serve the kingdom or our country, and there are things bigger than us that we need to understand that we have to be willing to lay our lives down for, both as veterans and as disciples. And so I want to look at today quickly at the parallels between veterans and disciples. I opened with Matthew 16:24. I want to read that again and read verse 25 as well. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it.'" I remember back some years ago, Cade was enrolled in the law enforcement program at Rhodes over in Lima, and I overheard him talking one evening to Judy, and he said, "You know, I've been thinking." Well, that right there caught my attention. Kay's been thinking, oh my God, I better listen to this. See back. So he went on and he said, you know, I've been thinking. He said, once you go to heaven, what does all the things that we do here on earth matter other than the people that we've influenced for Jesus? That was not the kind of normal thing that you heard Cade talking about, but he's right. When it's all said and done, the thing that really matters is what impact have we had on in this world for the next world and the people that we would encourage and hopefully see saved and living in eternity. That is what makes a difference. That is something, when you put it in that type of a statement, you say there is something worth laying down our lives for. And that is, if more keep, because in laying down our lives, we know what? Jesus said, if we lay down our lives, we do what? We'll find it. If we'll lose our lives for his sake, we actually find our lives. We certainly find purpose for life, but we also find eternal life, but also the fact that we can help others find eternal life. Is that something that is worth laying down our lives for? That there are causes bigger than ourselves, and that is, in the kingdom of God, that is others. And in this nation, we've always believed that serving and preserving the nation, the liberty of this nation, the freedom that this nation enjoys, the opportunity enjoys, that there are things, it's worth laying down our lives to preserve that for others, for those that come after us. We all understand this. Most everybody here has children and even grandchildren. Are we going to give them, what does it take to give them the nation that we had growing up? It has to be preserved. And sometimes that means, is that worth you laying down your life for, to serve that bigger purpose? Because not only are your children and grandchildren going to benefit from it, but the entire nation and all of her people benefit from it as well. Is that worth laying down your life for? Are there things bigger than you? And for me, I say yes. That's certainly, again, veterans, disciples. I believe those two ideas go very much hand in hand. In verse 25, it tells us why this is important. When we seek to follow our own desires, we may preserve our own physical lives. But if we sacrifice our own lives, we can actually end up finding lives for more people, and we can find a freedom in that. You hear talk about people who have been either held in captive, maybe people who have even been in prison, talk about, while they weren't physically free, they had to work to maintain their freedom up here. Freedom in their spirit, freedom in their minds. There are other ways and places to be free. Even if we lay down our lives, that we can do that in order to be free. You might think, well, if I lay down my life, I'm not free because my life is over. How can I say I'm free? I can say, well, I may have given up my life, but I died. It was my decision. I had the freedom to make that choice. I can choose to preserve my physical life by following these worldly guidelines, but now I am no longer free. I am bound inside of those guidelines that I have to keep in order to preserve my physical life. But if I'm willing to say I'm not going to be restrained by those physical things, those things that you demand of me, I choose to lay down my life, then my physical life may end, but I die a free person because I have made the choice. It's my choice to make. That is the decision that those who serve in the military and those who serve the kingdom of God and go into harm's way, that we make. That is the parallel between veterans and disciples. And it's all about freedom. It's all about freedom. Our veterans served to keep this nation free. Disciples serve so that people become free from this world and the sin and the limits that sin puts on our lives. It is all about maintaining freedom. Jesus came into this world for this purpose. I'm going to read four verses very quickly just to get through them, but to make this point. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." I guess Jesus wanted us to be free. That's why he set us free. You know, sometimes I love the Bible. It's so simplistic. You know, it just says what it means, and it means what it says. Jesus, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Why did he set us free? Because he wants us to be free. There you go. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus, again, came to set us free. John 8, 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm getting a reoccurring theme here, it seems like. Luke 4, 18 says, He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. So Jesus came to make us free. Jesus came to proclaim freedom. That's why he was sent to proclaim freedom for those who would otherwise be locked up as prisoners. So we see that when we serve Jesus, we are serving the cause of freedom. Jesus came so that we can be free. Certainly, that is what our veterans do. Amen? They serve so that this nation is free, can remain free, and that we all can enjoy the benefits of the freedom that is given to us. It is clear that Jesus came to set us free. When we use our freedom to serve ourselves only, I would say this, as Jesus is saying, when you serve yourself only, you're not really free. Who am I prisoner to if I serve myself only? I'm prisoner to myself, am I not? Jesus says if we're going to come after him, if we're going to serve others, we must pick up our cross and follow him. If we want to save our lives, we actually become prisoners to ourselves. If we want to gain life, then we need to be willing to lay that life down. When we serve only ourselves, we sacrifice freedoms that allow us to create a free society. If I serve only myself, then I'm not doing anything to help you be free. If tyranny comes upon our nation or into this world in any form and we don't fight back against it, I not only give up my own freedom, but if I'm willing to not stand against it, I give up all your freedoms as well. Amen? But if I'm willing to fight back against it, then I not only maintain my freedom, I hopefully help maintain all of your freedoms. It's only in serving God as a disciple that we help others to be free and that we become free, and that may mean giving up our lives for the greater cause. Which would be better? I mean, this is a little illustration I used to, people struggle with this, but I think it's a good illustration without anybody having to lay down their lives. When I was a youth pastor in San Diego, our youth group was 140 kids. I mean, it's pretty exciting. We had kids from 9 different high schools that were a part of our youth group. And, you know, there's always a few that weren't on board with the program. And sometimes it got to the point to where it's like you had to kick people out of, you can't come to youth group. You can't come to church. Can you imagine telling somebody you can't come to church? That's terrible. How could you ever tell somebody not? Because their behavior was so destructive, I wasn't going to sacrifice 139 other kids for the one. Our behavior affects a much larger people. Is it worth sacrificing myself if I believe that I would help protect and provide the freedom for everybody else? That is what being a veteran is. That is what being a disciple is. That says, I'm willing to lay down my life and pick up the cross of Christ so that I not only can be free, so that everybody can be free. Why? Because Jesus came to do what? To set us free. That is the whole point that God has in his creation for us in living in this world. Jesus said that when we as his disciples seek to save our physical lives, we lose the freedom because we don't any longer have any opportunity because we're now restricted. I have to carry out behavior that simply preserves my life. That behavior limits me. If I'm only concerned about saving and preserving my physical life, then that limits me. If I have freedom to live the fullness of life that God has given me, and that may cost me physically, that gives me freedom though. Freedom to have opportunities. Freedoms to succeed. We don't ever succeed if we don't ever try, amen? What about men are much less risk averse than women. That's probably why men, most of those videos of people dying in really stupid ways are what? Are men, right? Because we're less risk averse.
Most of the heroic acts are
But most of the heroic acts are carried out by men. That's just the nature of how God made us. He wants us to not be risky just for the sake of being risky, but he wants us, and he's trying to explain, to help us understand, that we can't just stay in this safe little bubble because we imprison ourselves. Nobody who, if they were thinking of preserving their own life, would storm a beach, jump out of an airplane, land on a moving aircraft carrier. You know, I have to say, when I was 23 and single and doing that, I had a very different perspective off of flying off of an aircraft carrier in the middle of the night than I did at 30 and married. You somehow, you start becoming more mortal, you know, the older that you get and the more obligations that you have. But nobody would have ever flown off, taken an airplane off of a moving ship had somebody not been willing to, the first time, take that risk. And think of what has been gained, the advancements and the opportunities in technology and science and all these things that benefit all of our lives because somebody's willing to take a risk. They didn't live within that limit of just preserving their own life. If we're only concerned about preserving our own lives, you don't go serve in the military and you don't go serve the kingdom of God, putting yourself in harm's way as a disciple of Christ. We are living in a time more and more and more, and I've commented on this, I'll say it again, where our culture, our social, cultural, academic, political people involved, I don't call them leaders at all, political should be political servants, they want all of us to view ourselves not as spiritual beings, but as simply flesh and blood. And what we do, and like this reaction, the insane reaction, where you're, you know, just as long as you have a mask hanging on your ear, this doesn't mean, is simply to preserve physical life. But there's more, we understand. Sitting here this morning, I don't see any mask. We understand there's more to physical life than simply there's more to life than simply staying alive. Amen? That's why we're here this morning, because we know that there's more to life than just staying alive. You cannot serve others. You cannot serve as a disciple, as a veteran, when you think all I want to do is preserve my life, and now I am restricted. I am no longer free. I am captive to myself, because I'm just going to preserve this physical life. There's such a difference. I love being able to see. I'm imagining right here what it would be like if I was sitting here looking at all of you with masks on. It's horrible. It's horrible. Not that there was never a reason to put it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that all masks should be banned and never, ever exist ever again. But the way that we're doing it with this is crazy. Okay? I know you and I see you and I experience you because I see your face. I see the smile on your face. I can see the insane anxiety on my wife's face this morning as she couldn't find the right outfit to wear. Okay? I wish she would have had a mask on so I didn't have to suffer that anxiety with her. But we experience each other because of what we see here. It's not completely, but to such a regard. So it is not about that. You cannot be a veteran. You cannot be a disciple if you simply want to preserve life. There's so much more to it than that. And that's why God says if you want to have real life, then you will lay down your own personal little life and live a much bigger life. And that bigger life is what? By following me. If you want to be alive and an American citizen, you may have to simply set aside your life and only what you do and serve the bigger cause of this nation and all of her people. It's the same principle. There is I believe, a very direct parallel between veterans and disciples for the kingdom of God. And this is what I believe it's all about. Looking at Luke 9, starting in verse 23, it says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to, think about it. What I was just saying, if you want to save your life, you lose it. Look, I don't want to die, so I'm going to put a mask on my face, I'm going to stay in my house, and I'm not going to come within however many feet of anybody else for a year, for a year and a half. Folks, did you not just lose your life? What life do you have? I saw a video this past week because now the Pfizer vaccine has now been cleared for kids down to 5 years old. And I saw a mother who was doing a live reaction shot of her child telling her that she could get the vaccine. A grade schooler, somebody that's under the age of 12. And she's like, what? She says, you know, what does that mean, honey, that you can get the vaccine? I'll be able to go outside. This mother has kept her grade school kid inside their house for over a year. Now, you tell me what kind of a life that is. In trying to save life, you have stopped living. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. I want to stay alive, but I'd have no life. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet you lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. We need to be willing to live our lives for Christ, not for ourselves, okay? And this is talking obviously about eternal things. We're talking about you can gain the whole world, but if it costs you your eternal life, what good is it? We are eternal. I mean, I talked about this a while back. We are eternal beings. Every one of us here is going to live eternally. The question is where and how? God considers life living with him. Separation from him is considered death. We see this clear back in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, and it says that they died. They didn't die physically, but what did they do? They were separated from God. Death came into the world. Separation from God is God considers death. Not physical death the way we think about it, but death, separation from God. Why? Because we were created to live eternally with God. So to be separated from him is death. So he says, what good is it? You might gain this whole world, but you lose your life because you're going to be eternally separated from me. So what do? We lay down our physical lives so that we can serve the kingdom and live eternally. And we must not be ashamed of this. We should not make apologies for this. I will not apologize for living my life not simply for myself. There are plenty of people in this world. There are plenty of people in this country. And there are probably plenty of people in this county who think that I'm crazy for what they would say, putting their life at risk. But I'm saying, because it may end up costing me my life. But I'm saying, no, I'm living my life, and I'm choosing to live my life every minute that I have. And when it ends, I will continue to live life because I will be eternally with my Creator. And that's life. But there are plenty of people who would say that view of things is crazy, right? They just want to live physically as long as they possibly can. Well, folks, there's not very many of you in it. How many people in here are over 60 years old? Almost everybody, okay? Not everybody. I'm shocked that, huh?
Not me.
Yeah, but you surely didn't raise her hand either, honey. So some of you just aren't being honest, okay? If your life isn't what you want it to be at this point, that's on you. You've had 60 years or more, all right? So I'm willing at this point. If I lose my life because I want to continue to live my life and it ends a couple weeks from now because I did something stupid, at least I lived my life. Okay, I lived. And I know that because I've lived and I'm willing to be a disciple of Christ and stand up here and proclaim this message to anybody that will listen to it, that I have eternal life. It's not about gaining the world, folks. It's about gaining eternity. It's about gaining something bigger than this world. And I believe that that's what we thank God for veterans that they saw. You cannot serve. You cannot go and charge, you know, Omaha Beach without understanding that there's something a lot bigger than yourself. And you cannot go and stand for the gospel of Christ. And we don't, I mean, I never thought I'd see it, but the way things are going, we may see it in this lifetime where standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ may cost you your life too. In one form or another. It certainly may cost you your livelihood. Luke 14, 27 says, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." What is the cross? The cross was an instrument of death, but it also was an instrument of freedom because all of the sin of the world was dealt with on the cross. And then resurrection came to new life. We have to be willing to carry the death of Christ in our bodies and live it ourselves, possibly, if called upon. He says, and if we don't do that, we cannot be his disciples. Not all disciples give their lives, but they're willing to. True disciples. Why? Because they carry the cross of Christ. Not all veterans gave their lives, but they were willing to put themselves in a position to serve the greater cause of this country, not just their own. There is a direct parallel, I believe, between disciples and veterans in the way that they serve others, the way that they serve a cause bigger than themselves, and a way that they serve to lay their lives on the line, to follow Christ, to follow the founding of this country. They're both worth preserving. In fact, the beauty of it is, in this country, the founding of this country is based on Christ, on God's creation, that we are all created in his image, and we all have plan and purpose, and that we're all valuable, that we all have inalienable rights, and that we have the opportunity to self-govern. All those things are based on God's creating of mankind. And so, veterans, disciples, we honor our veterans. We honor those who are willing to today, and we look up to them. We thank them. But we also need to understand, if you know, there were only three veterans from what I saw here in this place today. But every one of us are called to carry out the same role as disciples. The fact that you're here today, you fall in that same category. Every one of us is called to carry out that role as a disciple, which is the same role as a veteran, to serve a cause bigger than ourselves for the sake of freedom. Freedom in this country, freedom in Christ. Freedom in this country, freedom from the world and the sin and all the things that go along with it. So you if you want to call yourself a veteran rather than a disciple, if that helps you, whatever it is. But it's the same call. It's the same purpose, to be called to something bigger than ourselves, and we need to carry that out, and we need to also not to forget to honor those who do, to honor those who are willing to serve someone bigger than themselves. And I'm going to close here just with a video and then give one other little passage, but this just to remind us again that this Veterans Day, that we want to take time and thank those who serve, but not only those who have served, but also the families of those people who have served also serve alongside. I always think it's harder to be the spouse and the family left at home while the service member goes off. Because when I was living on a ship and all I had to do was roll out of my bunk and climb up a couple ladders to get, down a couple ladders to get something to eat and then climb up a couple ladders to go to the shop. I mean, my world was really tiny and really, easy to deal with in that regard. I mean, if you're at home, the groceries still need to be bought, the bills still need to be paid, the grass still needs to be mowed, all those kinds of things. Life goes on as normal and you're there by yourself. And so I've always thought they have a every bit as big a challenge as any service member, so we want to honor them also, and this video kind of does that. I can tell you that the worst feeling in the world is was getting on a ship and leaving Judy for months at a time. But the best feeling was coming home. I used to never let myself think about coming home until I could look out the window of the airplane and see the Coronado Bay Bridge. I knew that even if the airplane destroyed and I had to eject, I was closer to swim to the beach than it was swimming back to the ship. So one way or the other, I was ending up in San Diego and flying in, landing at North Island, and seeing Judy standing there on the flight line. Nothing like a kiss after 6 months. Those lips feel pretty good. Colossians 1:24 says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church." We need to take this view that Paul has here. He considered it a privilege to serve at any cost. He said he fills up in his flesh what he's lacking from Christ's afflictions. The ability to serve a larger group, a larger purpose than ourselves. That's the view that Paul had. That's the view that Christ has when he tells us to take up our cross and follow him, to lay down our lives, to give our lives so that we can gain our lives. That's this whole mentality of there being a greater cause, not just ourselves. There are things bigger than ourselves. And that is certainly the view that we need to remember exists. It's why we have veterans. It's why we honor them on Veterans Day. But it's also why we are called to be disciples of Christ, because there are things bigger than ourselves. And there are things more valuable. There are things, no matter how great our wants and our desires, there's nothing greater that we can do than to help other people, not just your own. If I achieve my wants and desires, I've done that for one person. But if I can help multiple people achieve, then I can do it for many. That's the greater purpose. That's the idea behind being a disciple for Jesus Christ or being a veteran, that we can serve other people, that there are bigger causes, there are hills worth dying on to lay down our lives for a greater cause. So I just wanted today to give us this view that while we honor veterans, those same principles apply to us, whether we're veterans or not. If we're disciples of Christ, then that same view applies. We serve a greater cause than ourselves. Amen?